Kevin is waiting to talk with you. Call 781-837-4900. Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, 95.9 WATD.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. We want to thank State Representative Jeff Deal for providing us that update as to what's going on up at the State House. State House report. What'd you think, Joe?
No, I thought it was good. I think, you know, there's a lot going on up there. I personally haven't been paying attention because I've been on vacation the last couple weekends, so my mind has not been on politics.
I was going to be a smart aleck and say probably a lot longer than that, but I'll keep it to myself. Just so folks know, if you once again, don't forget we are on Facebook if you want to find out what's going on, or if you have comments or concerns or questions, you just want to say something or just like the page. Where it's facebook.com/ Monday Night Talk on 95.9 FM WATD. That's how you can like the page and get involved. And don't forget, we do regular podcasts. If there's something that you missed from previous shows, you can always go to the ATD website, 95.9WATD.com. Scroll down, you'll see my handsome face and Joe's in a little bit of a banner. You click on that, it'll take you right to the podcast site, and you can select from some of the past shows that we've done. And I believe we're over 50,000 folks who have checked out the site since we put it up about 6 months ago, and we thank you very much for checking it out and liking Monday Night Talk. The gentleman who is joining us right now, he's no stranger to the show. He has been here before. Not only is somebody who has run for mayor, but somebody who has talked out about some of the things going on in the city of Brockton, that municipality. I think you've either been here or you've called in, Mr. Matter, as somebody from who is been a part of the group Brocktonians for Limited Taxation, they were here last week.
Yeah, I'm one of the co-founders.
One of the co-founders, but he's also a gentleman who ran for mayor 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
And is obviously is not liking what he's seeing, and feels that you feel basically that change, that not enough change is being done, and that the taxpayers in Brockton are not getting their money's worth, so to speak.
Yeah, we need change. Desperately. The people that I talk to and I've met with, they all say the same thing. We need new blood.
Is that, I mean, what's the difference from when you ran 2 years ago to your run this time?
Well, last time I started late. I had no help, no money, no name recognition. I have name recognition now. I have more help. And the issues are out in the open now where they weren't 2 years ago.
What would you say are some of the prime issues? Have they changed? I mean, I know that, the proposed development down Oak Hill Way, the south side of the city, the 350-megawatt gas-fired power plant, has always loomed over elections for the past 8 years. Is that still the predominant issue, or are there other things?
Well, I think public safety is number one. And then jobs is number two. But the power plant is a big issue in the city of Brockton. Most people don't want it. And but there are a couple of my opponents who want the power plant.
But does that surprise you? Does it surprise you that after all the conversation that has been in the media, whether it's your local newspaper, whether it's conversations that have taken place on internet websites and stuff like that, do you feel that people know enough about this and that you're surprised that there are still people who want this project?
Yes, I am. I am surprised, especially when you think about where they're putting it. Number one, that area down there probably has one of the highest asthma rates for children in the state, and it's just going to add more pollution. So the people in that area don't want it. Mm. It's close to elderly housing. It's close to businesses. So it's. I'm not against a power plant. I'm against where they want to put it. It should be out somewhere where it's all by itself and it's not near any kind of housing or businesses or stuff. They did have one explode down in Connecticut that killed 12 people. If this one, probably never would happen, but if this one ever exploded, it would be a lot more than 12 people.
Let me ask you this, and that is, what has been, What is the thing that you've been hearing from residents in regards to it? Do you hear no across the board from all residents, or do you hear some people who ponder and say, well, if it's going to help in this manner, maybe it's something we should think about?
If you know about the power plant, you don't want it. If you're not totally informed, it sounds good that we should bring it in, and you know it's going to bring tax money in and stuff like that. But when you consider what the pollution situation is down in that area, when you consider that it's not going to provide a lot of jobs in the city, it's not going to lower anybody's electric bill. So basically, the only thing is it might bring in more tax money. But I think the city needs jobs more than it needs tax money. I would just like to see something like a Cindy's Kitchen or a Conkers Foods or W.B. Mason down there. They're going to hire 100, 200 people. Okay. We need that more than we need tax money.
There is, you were correct, that I believe an opponent who is one of five, you're one of five as
yes.
well, who is seeking to be the next mayor of Brockton. Of course, Linda Balzotti is seeking, yeah. I believe, her third term. You do have an opponent who actually has come out and said that what he would do is he would take the problematic Aquaria, the water desal, and sell that water to the folks who are proposed to. He would actually enter into he would have the city enter into some kind of a partnership with the power plant, and with that money yeah. That's how they would maybe have additional police officers and lower taxes. What do you think of that?
Well, if first of all, you know, Brockton is not a venture capitalist. Government was formed to serve and to protect. Didn't they learn from getting into the Aquaria with the desal plant, the power plant, the dump, you know, the transfer station, all these bad deals, and you haven't learned from that yet? I've studied that desal plant six ways to Sunday. And it's a loser.
I believe the particular opponent would actually purchase the desal plant, and then from there, sell the water, and that would pay for the bond on the desal plant. It would kind of be a win-win, so to speak.
Okay. Well, if you're going to take I believe he said that the bond payment would be $3 million a year, and then he would sell the water to the power plant, and he'd get $3 million from them and pay the bond. Well, who's going to pay all the other bills?
Right.
I mean, the taxes on that building are over $500,000. The payroll tax is between $600,000 and $700,000 a year. The insurance, the chemicals, cost over $1 million a year just to control the fish egg problem. Who's going to pay all that money?
Right.
Right now, the city of Brockton has given them $6.1 million, and they're losing money, doing nothing. So that means the maintenance of that thing, without even producing any water, is over $7 million a year. So now if you take 2, 3, 4 years to put in a power plant, who's going to pay that $7 million a year? Taxpayers of Brockton? I don't think so.
I guess, just so folks know, we are speaking with Ron Matta. He is a candidate for mayor in the city of Brockton. The individual that we are talking about who is proposing all this is Bill Carpenter. He is an outgoing school committee member and is thrown his hat into the ring. What are some of the other things? I know that you are also somebody who was very instrumental in the most recent conversation that was held at City Hall in the City Council chambers in regards to the fiscal year 2014 budget. And I believe you might have even been one of the individuals who stood up and actually talked.
Yes, I was.
Kind of share with us your thoughts on the budget process this year for the city of Brockton.
Well, last year we went down in December. And the city council told us, we've heard you, we will sharpen our pencils, come back in June, and we will listen to you. Well, we came back in June, and guess what? They didn't listen to us. They're going up a full 2.5%, which again will drive more people and more businesses out of the city. The part that bothers me most is that the CFO said, we have enough money so we don't have to go up on the taxes this year. It was confirmed by a city councilor. Yet the city council voted 9-2 to increase the taxes. And then a couple of these city councils had the nerve to say that people don't care about how much taxes they pay.
I guess I would ask you, you mentioned CFO John Condon. He's kind of the guy who kind of helps the mayor and the city council. Well, he helps the mayor basically build a budget each year. With somebody who was appointed by the state back in the early 90s when the city was this close to
They were folks, in receivership.
They were in receivership, yeah. And he was kind of the guy who was appointed, brought in to kind of oversee things. Yeah. You and he have had battles in the newspaper into your thoughts as far as your critique of his way of doing business and how he is balancing the budget on the backs of the taxpayers. And he's kind of fired back as well, right?
Yes, he has. I don't think he's been truthful with the people. Just like, he just doesn't tell us the truth. We don't know what the actual city financial structure is. I mean, I would call for an audit of the financial department. That would be one of the first things I would do. I know that when I got up and spoke, I mentioned a letter that he sent to a state official stating that the city of Brockton would have a $10 million shortfall in the 2007 budget or 9 budget, when actually they had almost $10 million. He said it would be $10 million short. And that year they had almost $10 million in free cash. So he isn't basically being totally truthful with the people. That's one of my complaints with Mr. Conley.
What else do you see as being a problem? I think I've heard you actually talk that if you're able to take a look at the finances, you're elected mayor in November. You look at the finances. I believe that I've heard you say that you would try to put more police on the streets.
Yes.
How many do you feel is the Brockton Police Department short at this particular time?
They have 170. That's 80 short. They should have 250.
Okay.
They're going to hire 15 more to replace some of the policemen that retired or out on disability or quit. So we need basically 65 more. All right. Now, we're paying $6.1 million to the desal plant. That's one of the things I would correct. Now, Stonehill College is another thing. We're losing probably anywhere from $150,000 to $200,000 a year on that. Now, I showed the city case law where the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court ruled that an open-ended contract, which is the contract they have with Stonehill, is open-ended, can be voided with proper notice. So all they have to do is send a letter to Stonehill College saying in 30 days we were voiding the contract and you're going to start paying full bulk rate. They refuse to do that.
I've heard from various sources that the deal that was set up with Stonehill is quite a sweetheart deal.
Yeah, that was Jack Units in 1996. He has since got a honorary degree from Stonehill. I don't know what else.
Okay.
But I don't know if it was had anything to do with anything. But
I mean, have
he
you
did give him a sweetheart deal.
Have you had a chance to look at the language in the contract or see when this thing expires or when the city can get together? And
there's no ending date. It's started in 1996. It has no ending date. As I said, the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court ruled that an open-ended contract can be voided with proper notice. You don't have to negotiate with Stonehill. You don't have to beg them to pay more money. All you have to do is send them a letter. In 30 days, the contract is ended, and we're going to start charging you full bulk rate. That's all you have to do. It's that simple. They absolutely refuse to do that.
Other than talking about problems with a proposed power plant or having enough police on the street to combat some of the crime that the city sees on a regular basis, is there any other kind of main issue that you feel that the five of you are going to battle about? Because we do have actually a forum that is coming up on August 19th. Yeah. You have all agreed to be a part of it. Well, we're still trying to contact Mr. Greenblatt to get him here, but I'm sure he will find his way here somehow, way. But are there any other dominating issues to this particular mayoral race that we haven't mentioned?
Well, the infrastructure, the parks. My cousin plays up at the DW golf course. He plays there on Saturdays, and he said, you want to come and look at the golf course? So we went up there one day, and we took a couple of cats, and we went out around the course. Absolute disgrace.
Really?
I mean, the sand traps, the grass growing in them.
And this is owned by the city, too, right?
That's correct. Basically, they lease it out, more or less.
Okay.
But they had a hard time even getting anybody to come in and you know, have a snack bar in there.
With the golf course, which is over by DW Fields Park on the north side of the city, don't they charge, aren't there like annual fees that folks are charged? Where does that money go?
Well, supposedly, the deed originally stated that money from that's made this year on the golf course is supposed to go to maintain it the next year. The only thing was you couldn't pay salaries with it. Well, in 1987, the city solicitor, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he ruled that, no, you don't have to do that. Now, what they do is if the golf course brings in $1 million, they give $600,000 back to the park department. They take $400,000 and throw it in the general fund. I had two counselors tell me that they don't do that, but then we found out that they actually do that.
Right.
So all that money should be going back. If that money is put back into the golf course, they will hire, they could hire more people. They only have three people working in the park department, and they have to take care of the park, the golf course, the cemeteries, the ball fields. I know that some of the time the school department actually mows the lawn on some of the playgrounds because they don't have the help to probably take care of it. If you go up to Melrose Cemetery, absolute, they don't take care of them. You know, D.W. Field left a pretty good sum of money to take care of Melrose.
Yeah.
And they're not taking care of the parks, they're not taking care of the cemeteries, they're not taking care of the roads.
Well, what would you do, if you're elected mayor in November, what would you do differently then?
Well, first of all, when we want to talk about the golf course, the first thing I would do is put a new clubhouse with a dining room, full liquor license, and bring in a real, caterer and fix the golf course up.
Okay.
It won't take a lot. But I mean, I went up there, and I mean, benches are there rotting away. You can't.
Well, you're going to spend money to fix the place up, but then fixing it isn't necessarily the problem. Maintaining it long term would be the problem.
Yeah, right. Well, now they're losing a lot of membership. So now, if you do these things, you're investing. You're not spending. You're investing.
Right.
You're investing in the golf course.
Doesn't the Park Commission oversee that? Didn't they just bring in a new guy?
Yes. Yeah, and he's doing the best he can. Okay. I'll give him credit for that.
Is that what he's saying, or is that true?
No, it's true.
Okay.
He is doing the best he can. But when they don't give you any, the proper number of employees, and they keep telling you they don't have any money, that's another thing that I believe that there is. I've been saying for 2 years that the city has plenty of money. And finally, this year, they came out and said, yes, we do.
Okay.
And everybody that I talked to, whether it be the councilors or city officials or anybody, kept saying, no, we're broke, we're broke. How do you get the highest bond rating you can possibly get for a city like Brockton and be broke? You can't do it. It's impossible. How do you get the bond rating that they have with no money in the bank?
Well, I think your bond rating usually is depending on what you have as far as for capital around the city, property that you own, and money you have in stabilization, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So they have plenty of money.
Okay.
Now, according to the Department of Revenue, Brockton is 339th out of 351 cities and towns on median income.
Okay.
But they're eighth in the state with money in the bank. This is the Department of Revenue. So how does that happen? Because they take the money in, they don't spend it. They don't fix the infrastructure, they don't fix the parks. They don't hire enough policemen or firemen. They just hoard the money. That's all I can figure they're doing. I mean, that's why I would call for an independent outside audit from a company that has nothing to do with the city of Brockton and find out where the money is and what are they doing with it. The people of Brockton have a right to know where that money is going and how it's being spent.
And once again, we are speaking with Ron Matta. Ron is looking for votes on September 17th, so he can hopefully be on the ballot for November 5th. I guess anything in closing in regards to your run or any other issue that we didn't touch upon that you want to at least take a moment or two to talk about?
Well, just the fact that I think we need change. We really do. We need new blood in. And as one counselor at large put it to me, he said, if we don't get change this election, the city's going to die. These aren't my words. This is from a candidate for city.
You're paraphrasing someone else?
No, that's a quote.
Okay.
That's a quote.
All right.
That's what he said.
And
if we don't
say
get change. Change is the biggest thing. The hardest thing right now in Brockton and the biggest problem, I think, is apathy.
Well, you had that 2 years ago.
Oh,
yeah, I don't see apathy as far as candidates this year. I mean, you got two incumbents, and you got 13 folks who have pulled papers for Councilor Lodge in Brockton.
Yeah. Right.
There's a Donnybrook going on in Ward 7. You got six folks who are trying to fill Chris McMillan's seat.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I think it's great. And I
actually,
think
you know one of them. I think Dick Zaccaro, who was in here last week.
Yes,
is
I do.
One of the half a dozen who are seeking votes. Hopefully. Yeah. To move on from September 17th.
Yeah, I think it's great because I think this brings attention to the issues. And I think people want to get more involved when you have a lot of candidates like that.
If folks want to find out more about you, do you have a website? Do you have on Facebook?
I just got up on Facebook. I haven't got my page quite up yet. Okay. And I'm working on my website, which should be up very shortly. And they can, if they want to know more information or they want to contact me, the best way to contact me is through my email, mattawan@comcast.net. If they send me an email, I will get back to them. Just leave me a phone number or whatever questions you want, and I will respond.
That's true. I call him all the time. He calls me right back. He's a good guy like that. Ron, we want to thank you. We wish you the best of luck. We'll see you on August 19th, you and the other
I'll
four,
be here.
Including the incumbent. I'll you guys can all duke it out for an hour.
Thank you very much.
We're going to step aside, and joining us in studio is the dangerous Dave Wedge. Stay tuned for that in just a moment.